Mason.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Next Fan Up, the podcast by the fans for the fans. I'm Justin, the Seahawks Superfan. Boy, I'm going to have a lot of free time starting really, really soon. We'll get to that. We've got a great New Year's Eve edition. This is pretty much the salty, not making the playoffs edition, except for a sudden guest appearance by James, who's the one playoff team super fan who's on the call with us. We're going to go ahead and run down the line who we've got here, starting off with our 49ers super fan, Charlie. What's up, Charlie?
How's it going?
It's going. We've also got the man from across the pond, everybody's favorite Scotsman, Neil. What's up, Neil?
Happy New Year. We're 1 hour into 2018 over here. So happy New Year to you guys when it comes.
I am glad you made it. Jury's still out if we will on our coast, but we'll see what happens. Monty, speaking of the best coast, how are you doing?
May 2017 be forgot not fast enough for the rest of us. Yes. Cheers, fellas.
All right. We got the Lions super fan, Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, fellas. Glad to be here, and happy new year to all of you.
And, of course, we have the aforementioned James. What's happening, James?
Happy new year, guys. Looking to do a good recap of a wonderful day of football.
All right. The one playoff-bound team in here. I'll be honest, James. I'm just going to be salty at you all night. I can't be avoided.
Team has showed up today.
We're going to run down the list real quick. Give some quick thoughts on some of these seasons. We won't go too deep on most of these recaps, but, you know, I say that every week and we usually end up go too deep anyway. Before we do that, though, we're going to talk about our sponsor, Harry's Razors. You've heard the spiel 100 times. Phenomenal blades. That's why over 3 million guys have switched. Outstanding price. Started by Jeff and Andy, two regular dudes who were fed up with buying overpriced razors. Bought their own German razor factory, over 100 years of blade making experience, to give them the highest quality product. It's cheaper because they sell direct to you. No middleman. They're not paying for the security guard with a bundle of keys to open up the like Fort Knox style lock at the drugstore. So to claim your free trial from Harry's, which is a $13 value, by the way, all you have to pay is shipping. We want you to go to harrys.com/nextfanup. So free trial comes with the Raider ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, the rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. And yes, I did shave this morning using my Harry razor. I still love it. So to get your free trial, go to harrys.com/nextfanup right now. That's harrys.com/nextfanup. All right, guys. Now that we've talked about Harry's razors, we're going to talk about football. I'm just going to run down the list, go game by game, and this is not intentional. I'm not in charge of this, but the very first game on the list is Seahawks-Cardinals, so I'm going to go first. Seahawks needed to win, and they needed a Falcons loss to get into the playoffs. Neither of those things happened, which means my Seahawks are out of the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. Finished the season at 9-7, first time without double-digit wins in a long time. Russell Wilson was fine, 18-29 for 221 yards. Cardinals pretty much came out and smashed the Seahawks at the beginning of the game. Seahawks came back. Eventually, the Cardinals scored a late field goal to pull ahead by two. Seahawks got the ball, drove down the field. About 50 seconds to go, lined up Blair Walsh for a very, very makeable 40-some-yard field goal. And as I have come to expect, shanked it. I was texting my buddy Anders. We were both in total agreement that that's exactly what was about to happen. That's pretty much a perfect microcosm of the Seahawks season. Anytime it looks like they're starting to kind of turn the corner and shed that, that like whatever's been dragging them down, seems like oftentimes Blair Walsh, but usually something comes up. So Seahawks, for the first time in a very long time, we're expecting the 18th overall draft pick. Cardinals at 8-8 suddenly doesn't look so bad when you consider the fact that they didn't have their running back, their quarterback. They're a team in a bit of transition. Doug Baldwin was probably the one big standout for the Seahawks, 4 receptions for 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I'm going to be honest, man, this one hurt a lot. I fully expected the Seahawks to win this. Now our Cardinals fan can gloat over the fact that Bruce Arians is now 4-1 as Cardinals head coach at CenturyLink. So, yeah, that sucks. Next game, I'm going to throw it over to you, Charlie. I'm going to give this one to Neil because Neil and I were talking about this one. Bengals beat the Ravens 31-27 in a game with an absolutely furious finish. Neil, what had you so excited while we were chatting?
First of all, can I just ask you a question about Seattle?
Sure.
Okay, let's make that two questions then, since I got a yes. The first question is, is Pete Carroll retiring? And second question is, I noticed that Arizona were getting a lot of yards on first down plays against you tonight. And I just wondered if you were playing any sort of different defense on first downs, because they were killing you on first down.
Let's see. In terms of the first downs, everybody probably noticed it because the color announcer kept saying that every 5 seconds. I mean, he wasn't wrong. I'd have to go back and look at it again more closely. But they were effective both running and passing on first down, right? It wasn't they were just doing one or the other. And you kept ending up in, you know, second and short and moving the ball really effectively. I don't know what adjustments the Seahawks made at halftime, but they seemed to have completely changed that come the second half. But I'm going to chalk it up to a combination of things. I mean, late in the year, you're missing a lot of great players. Bruce Arians is a very good offensive mind. They have a lot of familiarity with the Seahawks. Teams that historically run really well on the Seahawks are ones that have like more complex blocking schemes, running against a very, very simple defensive scheme. It just makes it harder to get the fits right. I'd have to see for sure if that was the case, but I'm willing to bet that had a lot to do with it. And then, you know, the amount of adjustment you need to catch up to that, it takes some time. That doesn't happen instantaneously, but you're totally right about that. In terms of Pete Carroll retiring, every single reporter, journalist, whatever hack has said that is exactly that. They're hack. Pete Carroll has never said he's retiring. He's never given any indications he's considering retiring. He just signed a contract extension at like the start of the season. The only thing they're going off of is, okay, well, I mean, I guess he's the oldest coach in the league, and they're, you know, not going to win 12 games this year. I wonder if he's thinking about retiring. I'm going to write an article about that. That is hack clickbait with no factual basis whatsoever. And Pete Carroll even addressed it before this the game in standard Pete Carroll fashion, just tweeting out, I'm too young to retire. No, he's not retiring this year. He's not retiring next year. He's not retiring soon, barring, you know, the fact that he's a 66-year-old man and could run into some kind of health issues. Who knows? But no. Anybody who reported that is a lazy reporter, and they just told you that they're not a reporter that you need to pay any attention to. So that's my take on that. Anyway, Bengals Ravens.
Well, all you need to know about the Bengals Ravens game is the last couple of minutes where the Bengals were down 3 points. That must have been 27-24 to Baltimore. And Cincinnati put together. Now remember, Cincinnati have got nothing to play for other than the joy of knocking a division rival out of the playoffs. And they went 11 plays, 90 yards for a touchdown to win the game, or certainly to put themselves up by 31-27. And it was capped with a terrific 4th and 15 play. I think it was 4th and 15. Yep, and Andy Dalton dropped back and he hit Tyler Boyd on a 49-yard touchdown pass. And I tell you, I'm no fan of the Bengals, but what a fantastic drive that was, and what a great play. And the game ended with Flacco flat on his back with a whole face full of Carlos Dunlap. And that was it, Justin. The Ravens are out of the playoffs, beaten by the Bengals at home. And there was the odd boo there in Baltimore. What a fantastic last drive, and great news because, hey, Rob, our Bills fan, he probably will have passed out by now, and he's going to wake up tomorrow morning and be a very happy Bills fan because Bills are in.
Yahoo!
I just love the idea that Marvin Lewis finally wins like a must-win game, except he wins on behalf of the Buffalo Bills, not the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you think... anybody have thoughts on what they're going to do without Marvin Lewis?
No idea. They may go after Jay Gruden. Who knows? They're probably looking at some young offensive coordinator. I know a couple of teams with young talent on offense, especially up-and-coming talent, are trying to do what the Rams did last year and pluck some young mind offensively to be the head coach of their team for those who are going to have coaching changes this offseason. And Cincinnati looks like they're going to be in one of those.
Cincinnati's too cheap to pay for any of the up-and-comings. They're going to go take someone out of the bargain basement bin. They're not going to surround them with a quality scouting program, and they're going to fall back to 4-12 and wish that Marvin Lewis hadn't parted ways. They're
I wholeheartedly agree. They're going to regret getting rid of Marvin Lewis.
The era of Cincinnati being a playoff contender is coming to an end.
Enter All right, up Cleveland. Up next, we've got Lions beating the Packers 35-11. I'm going to assume that that feels really good for you, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get a win any way you can. I mean, that leaves the Lions on basically what sounds like Jim Caldwell's last game here. I mean, all the reports Saturday that came out basically said that he's done. So it's one of those games where it's just kind of, you know, Caldwell's a player's coach. And you can definitely tell that the guys were giving it all they had. It's nice to see Kenny Golladay go out there and show up and be that guy that was just a beast in training camp and preseason. It's nice to get a glimpse of him being fully healthy and what he can do. But it's going to be, you know, definitely interesting. There's some absolute, you know, needs as far as a personnel, you know, decisions that need to be made. But also, you know, in the coaching decision, that's going to be pretty interesting. As far as some of the early candidates, they said that sounds like Matt Patricia and both he and Josh McDaniels. So both of the Patriots coordinators are kind of rumored to have the upper head start, I guess you could say, on that, or the nod on that. But the one of the interesting candidates, I think, and not sure if he's even on the hot seat. I would imagine that he could be, but Bill O'Brien, if he were to leave Houston. I think that would be a good fit in Detroit as well, but I couldn't imagine what he could do with, you know, a team like this with Matt Stafford, kind of the opposite of what he was dealing with in Houston. But it'll be interesting for sure. You know, game wise though, I mean, the Lions kind of, you know, a week too late, man. They needed to take care of business last week, and they absolutely didn't. So,
all right, up next, Charlie, I'm going to go your way. The Texans beat the Colts 22-13. These are two terrible teams, I'll be honest. I don't think anybody cares that much about them. But Frank Gore, 24 carries for 100 yards. There's a familiar name. So I guess my question to you is, do you think the Texans can compete when they get those players back? And do you think Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer if he retires after this season?
Let me just answer that right away. Yes, Frank Gore, number 5 on the rushing list, put in another 100 yards. I think he's going to get up to number 4 here shortly. He didn't make it this year, but he will next. If the Niners were to say that they were going to bring back Frank Gore instead of re-signing Carlos Hyde and running with Matt Breida and maybe someone else that they draft, I'd be completely okay with that. Consummate pro. Yes, absolute Hall of Famer, and it was great watching him in this game. He just, you know, he put the Colts team on his back, a terrible team that, you know, really their offensive line is garbage because of the Jacoby Brissett. Is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. As for the Texans, yeah, they're going to be just fine. I'm glad they kept around Bill O'Brien. That would have been trouble. And then Deshaun Watson comes back. You know, all of a sudden have a good quarterback that's able to keep the offense on the field rather than the defense on all the time and accruing injuries. J.J. Watt will come back. Clowney's a force. And really that game, Deshaun Watson versus your team, Seattle, there, and Justin, was a great game, but Seattle prevailed. So overall, yeah, 22-13, Colts, good game, but glad to see Gore playing well.
You know, I completely forgot about Deshaun Watson. Like, he was awesome, but, like, I feel like his awesomeness was contained to such a small amount of games before he got hurt that he is completely off of my radar. I was going to make a joke about how they should have went and got Jimmy Garoppolo, but that would be asinine at this point.
Hey, Justin, I'm
pointing that out.
Breaking news here.
Yep.
Colts just fired Chuck Pagano, and the Raiders have fired Jack Del Rio.
Oh,
what?
Man.
Jack Del Rio? That's a surprise firing. They just re-upped him last season.
Well, I mean, yeah, they thought they're gonna be Super Bowl contender this year. So I don't think anybody's surprised the Colts fired Chuck Pagano. But Monty, we got you here. So your thoughts on the firing and your thoughts on the Raiders game from today, when you fell to the Chargers 30-10.
And John Gruden.
Yeah.
And,
so
and are you bringing back Chucky?
I think that the, you know, all the reports coming out in today's pregame and the firing of John Gruden, I mean, you have to feel that they're pretty confident that they got John Gruden to come back. Adam Schefter doesn't really put his neck out on the line unless he feels pretty comfortable. The beat writers have said in the years past, the last two Raiders hiring, they'd reach out to people in the know and they'd get an absolutely not. And that wasn't the case today. They were all coming back like, this feels different than it has the last two hiring cycles. Totally surprised that they're getting rid of Del Rio. I thought that since they got rid of Ken Norton Jr., the defense actually made some strides, played a little bit better the second half of the season under Pagano. They had way too many injuries today to compete with Phil Rivers. I mean, it was just laughable. The whole secondary was on the wrong page. They were like 2 67-yard touchdown bombs from Philip Rivers. They're literally just laughing at the Raiders' third-string cornerbacks. No chance. Marshawn Lynch looked like the beast mode. I think he got over 10,000 yards on his career today. Puts him in like the top 31 of any humans that have ever done that in the league. He looks good. I hope he comes back just because I'm a fan. And yeah, I mean, this morning I was in total disbelief. I thought there was no chance because I've heard the Chucky rumors so many times in the past. But for them to fire Del Rio after they literally just extended him last offseason, totally shocking, and I think that they're going to make an announcement relatively soon. I love seeing Gruden Chucky dolls up in the stands. Like, I think that's awesome. But I'm so – I mean, the rumors that they're throwing out there, in order to get him to leave the booth, they're saying they're going to offer him an ownership stake, which just seems so dumb. You don't have somebody who partly owns the team running your coach. What happens if it doesn't go well and you got to fire him? It just seems so dumb. For these guys that sit in the booth for 6 years and think that they still know what's going on in the league, I think is a little bit of hubris. I mean, I like Gruden too. It was fun when he was in the Raiders camp. He turned that team around. This season, dropping from 12 wins to 6 wins is the second biggest like change in winning year over year from when the Raiders lost to John Gruden in the Super Bowl and then won 4 games the next year and cleaned house. I mean, it's a terrible season. They underperformed across the board. I don't know if that's on Jack Del Rio or Todd Downing, but it looks like Mark Davis is tired of losing, getting ready to move the team to Vegas. And he must feel pretty strongly that he's bringing in a big-name guy. So I'm expecting John Gruden or Josh McDaniels or some big-name guy. Otherwise, you wouldn't fire someone you're going to be paying the next 4 years in order to bring in some no-name offensive coordinator from the Saints. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a long offseason topic of discussion, is whether or not you can come back after so many years out of the league. I mean, look at how different, you know, offense plays the ball than just 5 years ago, right? Let alone back when he was still coaching. So that's going to be
also fifth offensive coordinator in Derek Carr's short career. He obviously took a huge step back this year. You can make excuses about the injuries. You can make excuses about the offensive coordinator. But he is just so gun-shy to throw it down the field. One of his interceptions today, you know, like when the defense jumps off sides and you got a free play, so you just air it down the field and you just kind of stare down until you, like, he literally did that without the benefit of the penalty flag. Like, I knew it was going to get thrown for an interception before he let it go out of his hands. It's like, what are you doing? It's terrible. So they need somebody who can work with a young quarterback and kind of bring him back to life. I don't know if it's, you know, his confidence, if it's his mechanics, but yeah, to go from an MVP type performance last year to, you know, one of the lower end quarterbacks in the league this year, I don't think you can blame it on a back injury or anything like that, because he's just playing so poorly. Afraid to throw it downfield, and that's not going to win very many games.
And that's what not getting better looks like as it goes. All right. Is that all we're getting out of you today, Monty?
Yeah, I might go grab a beer and I might be able to pop back on, but I'm making memories with the kids. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit salty.
Yeah, I get that. All right.
Understood. Perfect.
All right, James, we're going to go to you up next. Vikings beat the Bears 23-10. Man, that Vikings team, it looks really, really strong. Are they the favorite in the NFC right now?
For right now, I would say yes, based on how my team's played the last couple of weeks. But defensively, they're probably playing right now the best football in the entire league. Offensively, they do just enough to put points on the board, to give, you know, the defense a chance to pretty much shut down other offenses. They're playing the Bears today. I thought at some point, they once they got up 2-3 touchdowns, we might see Bridgewater, but apparently the Bears kept it close, and that 23rd point didn't come until the second half, which I was expecting more so in the first half. Kept it tight. They fought all the way to the end. They had a drive with like 6 minutes left that stalled on the 2 yard line. Minnesota's defense stuffed them, held them in check, got the offense on the field, and pretty much killed the last 6 minutes when just clock killing, short passes and runs by Latavius Murray. So right now, you know, the Vikings, number two seed, all locked up. First home game in Minnesota in some time in the playoffs, and a wild card winner is going into Minnesota and may actually get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, and John Fox is expected to get fired.
Exactly what I was going to say is we might be seeing another coaching change there in Chicago, which is, man, it's like, I'm somewhat surprised that John Fox couldn't at least get this team mediocre. That seems to be what he can consistently do, is get teams to mediocrity.
Well, this team wasn't built well enough to be mediocre. If you look at their talent on offense, you had Jordan Howard and nothing else. I was surprised that he actually got out of the defense what he did. Some of the games they won this season were eye-popping, considering who they were playing and who they beat. They could have easily beat the Falcons in week one. They destroyed the Carolina Panthers in the middle of the season. They also beat down the Baltimore Ravens as well. Two teams who pretty much could have easily made the playoffs if they had – I mean, well, one team could have easily made the playoffs if they had won that game against the Chicago Bears. This defense pretty much gave them everything they had and kept them competitive at least for three quarters of most football games they played this year. So, I mean, offensively, this John Fox can't fix his offense, and that's why he needs to go.
Yeah, don't forget they beat the Steelers as well. So yep. That's decent team.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, John Fox's thing is he's more concerned with, like, the cosmetics of the game. Like, he doesn't want the game to look terrible. You know, he'd rather lose close than, like, try to win kind of guy. So it's, I don't know, not really it's surprising that he actually, I feel like, anyway, that he had his job for as long as he did. But we'll see.
All right. Up next, I'm going to come your way, Charlie. Let's talk about the New England Patriots just absolutely crushing the New York Jets 26-6. Obviously you've got that connection to the Patriots because they sent you your quarterback, which we'll get to in a little bit. Is there any team that's going to beat the Patriots in the AFC playoffs if they've got home field advantage throughout?
Gosh, I don't see it. I mean, the NFC is clearly better than the AFC, but the top end of the AFC is, you know, in Pittsburgh and certainly New England is just dominant. I you know, it's a crash course for Pittsburgh in the AFC championship game, and whoever wins that game, of course, you know, I don't see any team they have in the NFC that's going to be able to beat them now that Carson Wentz has gone down. You know, so we'll see. As for the Jets, I mean, you really got to shout out at the job that Todd Bowles and company have done with that team, getting them to 5 wins. We all thought, I mean, with that Jermaine Kearse and what was that defensive tackle, Sheldon Richardson trade, that was the Jets waving the white flag. But, you know, to get 5 wins this season was great with such a depleted roster. The Jamal Adams, that strong safety out of LSU, played well all season. So hopefully the Jets will, you know, rebound, get themselves a quarterback. Maybe they'll trade up. I was hoping at one point they would trade up with my Niners, but now the Niners are 7th or 8th in draft position, depending on a coin toss with the Oakland Raiders. So anyway, just a little tidbit. That's it. Patriots 26, Jets 6.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out Todd Bowles. Neil and I were talking about this a little bit, that it seems like they've got just a terrible roster. Which means, at least to me, that means the GM did a bad job because his job is to basically, you know, go out and get the groceries. But the head coach's job is to cook with what he's given. And I think 5 wins and some really competitive losses to good teams is a credit to him. So, yeah, I love that they extended him. Speaking of Washington, Neil.
Justin, I do have something to say. There was Charlie didn't cover the big issue in this game.
The big news.
Between the Jets and the Patriots. And that was at the start of the game. We did have live footage of Bryce Petty sitting there trying to get his helmet on. And he was like, taking the helmet off, thinking, what is this? This helmet doesn't fit. And his teammate's looking at him thinking, what the hell, man? And he's trying to get his helmet on. He's pulling it on and taking it off. He couldn't get it on his head until he finally realized he still had his beanie hat on. Took the hat off, put the helmet on, and his teammate was like shaking his head thinking, this is not going to go well today, is it?
Wow. So not a quarterback of the future is what you're telling me.
I don't think so.
Speaking of quarterback intrigue, though, Washington fell to the Giants 18-10 in an NFC East matchup. Neil, I'm just going to cede the floor to you on this one.
Why are you giving this to me? I'm not interested.
Are you punting, Neil?
Oh, jeez. Well, Washington, very quickly, Justin, it was a terrible game. Washington made, Orleans Darkwa? Is that what he's called, the Giants running back?
Yep.
He morphed into Barry Sanders for 60 minutes, destroyed Washington, and that was really the end of the game. Cousins threw three picks, and was definitely auditioning for another team, I think. He wasn't
a CFL team with three picks?
Yeah, I mean, he actually had a really, really poor game. Having said that, that offensive line, you know, this guy's, I don't even recognize an offensive line. He's having a tough old time. So, yeah, poor game all round, and thank God the season's finished for us.
Are you going into total rebuild mode?
No. We're going into total rehab mode where all the guys who've been injured will come back. I mean, Trent Williams had his operation on his knee, which he's been needing for, 2 years now? Our Pro Bowl left tackle. He'll be ready for the start of the season. A lot of guys, obviously, everybody knows Washington's injuries this year, Justin. They'll be back. Jordan Reed, who knows what will happen to him. But no, not in rebuild mode at all. I mean, obviously, it depends what happens with Cousins and the contract there. But no, Washington, 7-9. They're a pretty good team. You saw them, Justin, down in Seattle with you guys. We're fine. We just need to look at our maybe look at our training regimes and our conditioning and find out if there's any issue.
Are you keeping your Gruden for another year?
Oh yes, he's confirmed as staying for the year. They're already extending various coordinators on his staff. So no, there's no change in the coaching at Washington this year, and I think that's probably a good move. I quite like Gruden. You know, he's all right.
All right, James. Could you have possibly cared less about your 0-6 loss to the Cowboys this week, which had no impact and no bearing whatsoever?
I tried to care earlier in the week because we were going into this week, we were the only team that was undefeated at home. We hadn't lost a division game yet. We had the chance to stop Ezekiel Elliott from getting over 1,000 yards and, you know, try to get that first unit offense to at least find some rhythm. And unfortunately, only one of those four things happened today. Ezekiel Elliott did not get his 1,000 yards. They held him to about 100 yards even on the day, so he was 26 yards short of getting 1,000. Took our first loss in a division this season. I was hoping for the clean sweep to balance out last year. Took the first loss at home this season. And Nick Foles, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's either gun-shy, doesn't know the offense as well as we think he does, or maybe the Giants' defense just really allowed our wide receivers to run haphazardly downfield unabated. But the last 2 weeks, if this is a microcosm of things to come, then we're going to be one and done in the playoffs against whoever wins in a wild card round. Nick Foles has got to – he's got to throw the ball. That's the problem right now. He's holding the ball too long. There are receivers running free. I've seen the route combinations. Guys are open. He's gun-shy. And I'm tired of hearing rhythm and timing with the players and everything like that. It's been 3 weeks. Three starts. He should have this down by now after 3 weeks. And if he doesn't have it during the bye week, then put Nate Sudfeld back out there. At least he threw the ball to some people instead of just running around looking and waiting and waiting and waiting. But Nate Sudfeld right now, it looks like, I mean – he looks like he actually wants to play as opposed to Nick Foles. So that's all I have on this game. And one more thing. There was an article written a couple of weeks ago. Jerry Jones is leaning towards firing the entire defensive coaching staff of the Cowboys.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a very Jerry Jones move, but that would be huge. Who's the defensive coordinator there in Dallas right now?
That's a good question. Gosh, he used to be. Yes, Marinelli.
Marinelli?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that would be a big mistake if they did that.
I don't see how, considering let's put it this way, that defense underachieved the entire season. They should have been able to lean on that defense to do things. They weren't.
To that pass rush,
that too, and it's exacerbated even more by the fact that when Sean Lee is out, that defense can't stop anybody.
Yeah, see, that's so what I was going to say. They go as Sean Lee goes. If he's on the field, they can actually play some defense when he's gone.
That's a big problem, too, because my defense was missing 7 key players today who either didn't suit up or only played the first quarter, and we held Dallas to 6 points. First team offense. There were a lot of backups playing today.
If their offense was better, that defense would look like it did last year. I mean, the offense was holding the ball at a lot, big time with Zeke.
Well, also understand,
with Zeke out, that defense
was not a world beater. I understand. And understand, the defense was not world beaters last year. They were 15th overall last year. Let's remember that. This wasn't a top 10 defense last year when they went 13-3. They were 15th ranked. So they were middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And that's mainly because the offense held the ball a lot, and they leaned, like you said, they leaned on Ezekiel Elliott. So it's nothing really that defense is doing. It's the offense helping the defense. This defense can't take over a game and impose its will on anybody. And that goes to coaching and personnel.
Yeah, it's just the formula, though. I mean,
and I get the formula,
the
but
money's on
not going to always have games like, he's not going to have a typical Zeke Elliott game, and Dak Prescott probably, still needs time to round into form. You're going to have bad days where you're going to have to lean on the defense to carry you, and they can't lean on that defense to do anything. So when the formula doesn't work, you still have to be able to lean on the opposite side of the ball sometimes to step up and do something. That defense doesn't scare anybody, with or without Sean Lee.
Personnel-wise, I think Marinelli goes somewhere and he's getting a job right away, whether it's as a coordinator or potentially as a retread head coach.
Yeah, it's probably going to be coordinator somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Go ahead, Neil.
I was just going to say, I kind of agree with Charlie there. I think Marinelli has done a lot with very little, I think, on that defense. Good points about the offense last year, just playing so many downs. The defense is getting plenty of chance to rest and playing short field. So I think Marinelli's good. I know Kevin, our Dallas superfan, he wants rid of Linehan, the offensive coordinator. And I think there's questions there in Dallas about Prescott. Honestly, I do think so.
Yeah, well, there has to be at this point. I think it was predictable.
Not really. Second year player, so I give him a pass on this season. He was bound to back after last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
he gets a pass.
You want to hear a good argument about Dak Prescott, refer to last week's show where James and I discussed
it. Right.
I believe I said that he is Nick Foles. And you saw how that went this week. All right, we're going to move on to the next game, the Browns versus Steelers. Steelers beat the Browns 28-24. Browns almost got their only win of the season, but with it, they have now won one game in the last 2 seasons. So, Josh, I'm going to throw this to you. Do you think the Steelers have a shot to beat the Patriots, even though it seems like they never do? And are the Browns really going to stick with a head coach who has won one game in the last 2 years?
Well, I'll answer this. I'll answer the second thing first, and then I'll talk about the Steelers Patriots. But I personally, you guys know from some of the pods that we've had that I personally thought that Sashi Brown leaving was the wrong move, and I thought Hugh Jackson was the one that needed to go. So it's weird that we just spent like what felt like 5 minutes talking about Rod Marinelli on a day that the Browns become the only other 0-16 team, to ever exist. Of course, those who don't know, he was the head coach of the Lions when that happened here some, 9 years ago or whatnot. But I think it's ridiculous. He's just mishandled Kaiser, from the get-go. You saw Kaiser on the sideline. Basically, for those who didn't see, Browns had a 4th-and-2 where Corey Coleman dropped an open pass basically to get the first down. Browns were definitely in scoring position. And they could have got a win today. It was a very winnable game. It was actually a good game. And Kaiser at the end of the game, has his arm around Coleman telling him, hey, man, I don't know what he's telling him, but, obviously – hey, I lost us a couple games this year too, is what I'm thinking. But to answer the second question is, I do think that the Steelers can beat the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots have definitely tightened up on defense, but we've seen this so many times. We've seen the Patriots start off you know, a little slow on one side of the ball or the other. And this year it was on defense. And that's typically one thing that we see is their defense kind of takes form and molds itself into what it's going to be. And they typically play like that bend but don't break style, which usually works against a team like the Steelers with major stars on, you know, and major firepower. I think the X factor is going to be Juju Smith-Schuster. He absolutely blew up today. And he was the key to the Pittsburgh Steelers getting this win and not being the team that the Browns beat. So, you know, having that distinction, but it is what it is. I think the Patriots can still find a way. I think they're going to have a little bit more depth, a little more healthy players, especially in the backfield when it comes to the running back situation. But it'll be interesting to see James Harrison actually wearing the Patriots colors and not the Steelers.
All right, up next, Falcons beat the Panthers 22-10, which I'm not thrilled about, but turns out it didn't matter because my team sucks. So we're going to stick in the NFC, Charlie. Falcons, obviously they were the NFC representatives in the Super Bowl last year. Panthers are going to the playoffs as well. So let's kind of keep with that same theme. Do you think either of these teams have a shot at the Super Bowl? And of the two, which do you think is closer?
Oh, man, that's hard to say. That Carolina team has looked good, but then they go play a team in Chicago and lay an egg. And then Atlanta went up to Seattle and edged out a win against you guys, but for a Blair Walsh miss. But yet that might not be as big of a feat anymore after a few losses in Seattle. So it's really, I think they're both Jekyll and Hyde teams. Can they follow the Joe Flacco, scenario and just get hot at the right time? Yes, the NFC is weak. Case Keenum, unless he, just continues his hot streak and that Minnesota defense, continues. I don't think really anyone is unbeatable in the NFC. So yeah, it's pretty much up for grabs. When it came down to this game, Atlanta, they just can't score. They can't score touchdowns, I should say. Steve Sarkisian, the new offensive coordinator that took over for Kyle Shanahan, the new Niners coach, just really can't get the offense in rhythm anymore. But they were able to win with defense, a couple of interceptions with Cam Newton, and converted those into field goals, and that ended up being the difference. This game I was feeling bad for Seattle. I was hoping. Honestly, I have a lot of friends and family that are Seahawks fans. I was hoping you guys would get this one, because I remember how it was when that first year the Niners didn't make the playoffs and it looked like things were kind of coming down. I remember that was tough to go through. So I was pulling for you guys, but in the end, Carolina couldn't do you a favor, and Atlanta goes to the playoffs.
All right, up next. Oh, by the way, okay. Just quick aside, Neil was kind enough to remind us all that now that the Bills are in the playoffs of all the major sports, the major team sports, now the longest playoff drought exists to the Seattle Mariners, which, as you can guess, is another team I'm very, very fond of, who haven't been there since 2001. I was a freshman in high school the last time they were in the playoffs, so thank you, Neil. I was already having a terrific day, and that just makes it feel much better.
I thought Ichiro must have hit them into the playoffs at some point, no?
In 2001, yeah. He was Rookie of the Year, MVP. Nice. I mean, he's the year he set the single-season hit record, I want to say that was like 2007, 2000, it's like somewhere right around there. They missed it by just like a game or two.
That 0-1 team was amazing.
Oh, I could derail this entire thing. We start talking about the 2001 Seattle Mariners team. The only reason they were not the greatest team in history was because of the horrible tragedy of 9/11 happening mid baseball season, which completely derailed the whole thing. They were on. Not even going to go there. It was horrible. don't get me off topic. damn it, Neil.
Gosh, do I even want to know right now?
He just told me that I need to speed it up. That's thanks, Neil.
I've been waiting for that for 2 years.
Really, Neil?
Oh, man. All right, up next, Neil, we're going to throw it your way. Chiefs beat the Broncos 27-24. Are the Chiefs out of their funk? And did we actually learn anything about Pat Mahomes other than the fact that he just had a very average NFL performance in his debut?
No, I think we didn't learn a great deal from the game, really. There was obviously a lot of players rested by the Chiefs. And that's a whole question, I guess, for the podcast, but whether we believe resting players is a good thing or a bad thing in the season sort of finale when you can't really improve your position. But no, we didn't learn an awful lot. Mahomes was okay. You know, he was solid. He had one pretty ugly pick where he kind of was way off his throw there. Oh, yeah, that was a busted coverage. I couldn't really tell you, but it was. He was certainly throwing it to the guy who picked it off. Otherwise, he made it throw for 280-odd yards and seemed to have a good connection with Wilson, the wide receiver. And, of course, you know, Kansas City are not used to throwing to wide receivers, are they? So that's a good thing for them. Otherwise, it was backups. And for the Broncos, Justin, I would say that a bit of a question for them. Paxton Lynch was kind of looked okay at times. He also threw a couple of picks, but also threw a couple of touchdown passes. One particularly nice one in the end zone towards the end of the game, even though it was probably in just a kind of late score to pad the overall score. But I think for the Broncos, am I right in saying that Vance Joseph is definitely out in Denver?
I mean, I think he has to be, right?
Well, I think so, yeah.
I don't know
four coaches.
If there's anything official yet, but I mean, to me, he's like the inverse of Todd Bowles, right? Todd Bowles had a roster with basically no talent whatsoever and got them to 5 wins. Vance Joseph took over a team loaded with talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and got them to 5 wins. I feel like this is the
quarterback
for a new coach, total turnaround.
A couple of issues for Denver, I think. First of all, like James just mentioned, the quarterback situation is way up in the air.
They mishandled that in the most epically awful way possible. They knew neither one of the two quarterbacks between Lynch and Simeon was good enough to get them through the entire season with 8 wins, let alone the 10 they were hoping for to possibly make the playoffs and compete for a division title. Midway through the season when they started falling off a cliff and they reacquired Brock Osweiler and threw him back in there, I don't know why they thought that was going to work midseason. They need to let all three of those guys go and truly do some real evaluation on a quarterback that can start. I know there's going to be a bevy of guys available in free agency. They need to be very careful about which one they pick up if they do go that route. And if they're going to the draft, then be prepared to go 4-12.
But the thing with the defense, they did lose Wade Phillips, which I think was quite a big blow for them. But in terms of the quarterback
minded coach, so they can let Phillips go.
Yeah, but Wade Phillips is a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, no?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
coordinator, yes, coach, no. But
one more thing there, James, I would say with the quarterback situation in terms of Paxton Lynch, in typical Denver fashion, somebody's got to come out and say this one's gone wrong.
Nice one, Neil.
All right, James, we're going to go to you next. Talking about the Titans, 15-10 win over the Jags. Blake Bortles seems to have come off of his high horse of the last couple of weeks. Titans obviously had a lot to play for. I guess the Jags did too. That AFC playoff picture is still up in the air. Are any of these teams any good, or are they both just products of a weak AFC?
I would say just basically the lower half of the AFC probably being weaker than, say, the lower half of the NFC as far as the playoff teams are concerned. Jacksonville actually had nothing to play for today. They couldn't get a bye. They were already locked into the 3 seed. But I understood them wanting to play all their starters because of how they looked the previous week against the 49ers. Defense gave up 44 points. Blake Bortles looked like Blake Bortles. And unfortunately, he looked like Blake Bortles again today, which didn't help. He should have went in the phone booth and found a cape to put on and become somebody else, i.e. a competent quarterback. This just is going to give more credence because I think they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. I know the defense for the most part of the year has played stellar, but I feel like whatever wild card team goes into Jacksonville, whether it's Buffalo or Tennessee, is going to beat Jacksonville. And it's going to be Blake Bortles' fault, not the defense, not the running backs, not the special teams. It's solely going to be on Blake Bortles because he's going to throw a soul-crushing interception or 3 or 5.
and that team is just going to be out of the playoffs, and it's going to give more credence to speculation to, oh, will the Giants cut Eli Manning? Will Eli Manning come to Jacksonville and hook up with Tom Coughlin again? And that's going to be the discussion we're going to have all offseason once Jacksonville is bounced from the playoffs.
Next week.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I don't think they'll be in there for long. All right, Charlie, you beat the Rams. Your quarterback has gone 5-0 in his five starts. How good do you feel right now?
I mean, statistically, they're the hottest team in the NFL. After starting 0-9, the Niners won six of their last seven games and finished 6-10, tied with the Raiders. I mean, who would have thought of that at the start of the season? I mean, you could definitely temper your expectations to Jimmy G if you're really watching his footwork. He tends to throw off his back foot a lot, but that is one of the reasons why he's so good against pressure. The last 4 weeks of the season before this week, he was averaging over 100 QBR against the rush, against pressure per PFF. So, I mean, just, which I want to say, if you extrapolated that over the entire season, he would be fifth in the NFL. Of course, Tom Brady being up there near the top. So, but when you look at him trying to get the ball more than 15 yards downfield, that's where he has overthrows. That's where he had his two picks today and just missing wide open wide receivers. He's still got, scored two touchdowns and has that wicked quick release. The Niners have a lot of stuff to build on with him. They got to get him an offensive line. They got to get him a wide receiver. They're still a few years away from really making a push, but I'm hoping LA and San Fran can turn into the new Seattle San Fran that it was in the early 2000s or 2010s. Time will tell. The Niners still have to have a great draft, great offseason, but man, things are looking bright in San Francisco.
Are you ready to give him a nice fat contract? Do you want to bring him back on a franchise tag? What do you want to do with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Don Yee, who's the agent for Jimmy G and also the agent for one Tom Brady, has been known to give some pretty good contracts, but you can wonder, is that just Tom Brady saying, I want this for the team, and then is Don Yee gonna try to have to make some money out of the Niners with Jimmy G? One thing I want to make sure is that the Niners don't expose their quarterback to a bad contract, a lot like they did with Colin Kaepernick. I don't mind if the Niners end up losing the negotiations with their franchise quarterback, because in the end, they win. Make sure that the guy doesn't feel slighted. Make sure that the guy is here for the long term. And we don't need another Kirk Cousins situation. Let's get the guy signed. Just worry about building around him.
All right. So you're saying pay the man. I can respect that. All right. Josh, we're going to go to you up next. I want to talk a little bit about the Bills versus Dolphins. We kind of referenced them once or twice already. Bills win 22-16. And with the way the rest of the AFC goes today, they are in the playoffs for the first time since I honestly can't remember, a very, very long time. We did see Shady McCoy
Music
get
City
hurt.
Miracle.
Yep, exactly. I was just gonna say.
Say it again.
Music City Miracle
was the last time they were in. Yeah. I believe that was 99.
Yep, yeah, Titans.
I believe we watched it in black and white. I guess my questions are: Shady McCoy was carted off. Have we heard any news about his injury? And
just an ankle injury.
Yeah,
x-rays were negative on that as far as the Bills sources. So some solid news there for Buffalo early. There's no indication on whether or not that means he's going to be available for next week's wild card weekend. But he will have the full week. They are not playing on Saturday. They're going to be playing at 1 at Jacksonville. So he will get a full week. So we'll see if he's going to be available. But this was a game that the Bills had in hand, until late. The Dolphins actually recovered an onside kick with under 2 minutes to go here. And things were starting to get pretty squirrely here. If you guys were watching this on Red Zone or whatnot, You know, there's a lot happening at the same time. And when that happened, I thought, you know, this is going to be pretty crazy. And then, you know, the turnover happened to pretty much ice it. Jordan Poyer picked one off to pretty much seal the game. But, you know, tempers flared up in this one. You know, just kind of, you know, you had David Fales out there for Miami. Is, you know, kind of a joke game for them. But it was nice to see Buffalo in the playoffs, though. I mean, it's been way too long, so we'll see what happens if they can do any damage. The matchup in Jacksonville next week, I think, is definitely going to be very interesting. Hopefully they don't try to get cute and put Peterman out there again.
that is a frightening
prospect. Can I add one thing about this game, Justin?
Yeah, man, have at it.
Kyle Williams, isn't it? The nose tackle or defensive tackle for the Bills. He came in on offense and he scored a 1 yard touchdown or something. He got the touchdown. He was delighted, of course. And then they did a pre-arranged celebration with the offensive lineman and him, and it was fantastic. Google it on go and Google that celebration. It was great. And then he ran over the sideline, and everybody and the whole team was mobbing him. It was just a great moment from the season there for me. And like you say, great that the Bills are in.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
The fat guy scored the touchdowns. I don't think anybody enjoys it more than they do.
Just like we drew it up, right? You guys all had the Bills in the playoffs at the beginning of the year.
we all right, yeah. Every one of us.
Especially with all the moves they made.
Of the 12 teams in the playoffs this year, going in from now, 12 teams, 8 of them weren't in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
Parity. I mean, that's what the league wants. That's what the league's got. And I'm for it. I mean, it's always more interesting if your team is playing for something other than just pride. And so I think it's a great thing, even though my team is unfortunately one of the ones who's not going in this year. Speaking of teams that sort of defied expectations a bit, the Saints at 11-5, they fell to the Buccaneers 31-24. I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of this game. I don't know if they were resting starters or if the Buccaneers just finished strong. Neil, can you give us the update on this one?
Yeah, I mean, really, this was early on. It was the Alvin Kamara show. A guy who is going to, I can't imagine who's going to get the Offensive Rookie of the Year or even just the Rookie of the Year. He was terrific. He scored on a terrific kickoff return. He took the ball. And he sort of stood and looked for a second and thought, am I going to run this out? And they thought, yeah, why not? And he went 106 yards for a touchdown. He had some really solid runs, with a 4.9 average. He also snagged 6 passes for 84 yards. He was all over the field early on in this game. And the Saints at one point looked like they were going to run away with it. But, you know, Buccaneers, yeah, they're fighting, aren't they, it looks like the coach is safe for another year. I cannot believe that, Justin. How Dirk Cutter's going to get another year there. But he is. He's got a quarterback in Winston, but Winston is still so raw. And for all the outstanding throws he does, I mean, he threw for over 360-odd yards in this game, but he threw 3 picks, Justin. And you just can't throw 3 picks. He's indisciplined, his footwork is bad, and he ends up just overthrowing guys and throw. There was one touchdown he threw in the end zone that was to... triple coverage. I mean, it was a question of which Saint was going to pick it off. So they've got a lot of work to do in the offseason, and that will start, no doubt. Certainly an offensive line looks pretty poor. But the Saints in the playoffs, and I believe they won the division, didn't they, with this victory?
They lost.
They won.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. So, yeah. I think the Saints will be fine in the playoffs. They'll get a home game with Carolina coming into their stadium next week. So I think the Saints will be fine there. I do worry, though. They look a little bit banged up, especially along the offensive line. So, let's see how they do. But in this game, the Saints, they lost the game, but they looked fine. They looked fine.
I mean, there's something to be said for the fact that, in my opinion, they've got the best quarterback in the NFC playoff picture.
Well, better than Case Keenum.
I mean, I know Case Keenum has the name recognition, but Drew Brees is playing some pretty good football.
I think we can never underestimate a quarterback who was tutored under Jeff Fisher.
Oh, wow.
Shut up, Neil.
You know what? It's sort of like training with like body weights on you the whole time, right? And then as soon as you cut Jeff Fisher away, everything is so easy. I think that's the Jeff Fisher effect. All right. Last game, Bengals Ravens. Did we talk about Bengals Ravens already? We did, right?
Yeah, that was the second game.
Oh, that's right, because it was finishing up as we started. That's where it was the top list. All right, so then that's going to do it. That is everything from around the league. Let's go down the line with who we still have left. Charlie, last thoughts as we wrap up the regular season?
Was a great season. Excited for next year for the Niners and how the NFC West is going to shake up. The Seahawks are always going to be good because they have Russell Wilson, but do they make any coaching changes there? And the Rams look forward to them, McVay versus Shanahan, going forward.
All right, same question to you, Neil.
Well, I think, first of all, Charlie, you've got that terrible thing that nobody really wants, and that's hope. You've got lots of it, and good luck with that. In terms of the NFC East, well, Philadelphia have had a lucky season. Dallas, they've fallen back to their usual rubbish. The Giants, they're a struggling franchise, so I can see Washington ascending next year to their rightful place.
All right, James, and we'll finish with you.
Wonderful football season all around. There were some ups and downs, some highs, some lows. We've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in every way, shape, and form possible. As an Eagles fan, it is always wonderful when we win a division and no one else from my division goes to the playoffs. Suck it, you three. And looking forward to the playoffs. Whether we win or lose, it is a lot more than I could have expected this season.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the
season. Justin?
Yeah.
Question for you. Same question to you.
Oh, I have to answer the question? Nope. Putting the host on the spot. 2017 to me was the year of injuries. The Carson Wentz injury, the Aaron Rodgers injury, the fact that, four Pro Bowlers were lost off my defense injury.
The Deshaun Watson injury.
Across the league, not particular to my team, just across the league, we have better luck with injury next year. But it's the nature of the sport, which is unfortunate. Deshaun Watson. I mean, you can again, it's not to make excuses for any particular team. I mean, you talk about your Washington team. Everybody's hit by those. And it's just a shame. I can't wait to see all of these players back. I can't wait to see J.J. Watt back on the field, Whitney Merciless. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2018. Hopefully better health. Hopefully the people who were hurt this year are not hurt next year, and we can see some of these just terrific players who we saw too little of this year.
Who gets the playoffs first, the Mariners or the Seahawks?
The Seahawks. I can tell you. Okay, the Mariners had the most money you can possibly
podcast
offer.
For another day.
All right. So that's going to do it for this week's episode and this final regular season edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I want to thank Charlie. I want to thank Neil. I want to thank Josh. I want to thank James and Monty for being on here with me. I want to thank you, the listener. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word, like us, share us. You can find us on iTunes, AHA Radio, Stitcher. Leave a review. That goes a long way towards helping people find the show. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Next Man Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. Send us an email. We've got off-season coming up soon. It's a great time to cover whatever you, the fan, want to cover. And our email address is nextfanup@gmail.com. Check out our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. Go to harrys.com/nextfanup. Take a breath and turn over to Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.